In a minute, I'm going to ask you to say a pledge together with me about our Bibles. Please turn to Daniel 3:19 through 26. Daniel is in the Old Testament right before Hosea that we studied last week. Once you find it, close your Bibles, stand up, and hold the Bible high above your heads. Say it like we mean it.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Yeah. Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face was disordered. He ordered the furnace heated up seven times more than usual and ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their trousers, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then the king was astonished and rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, "Was it not three men that we threw bound into the fire?" They answered the king, "True, O king." He replied, "But I see four men unbound walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the fourth one has an appearance of a god." The king then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and said, "Come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I love Advent. It means there's only three Sundays till Christmas. Well, today is the first Sunday of the Advent season. Advent is a Latin word, Adventus or Redemptoris, which means the coming of the Savior. Historically, the primary sanctuary color of Advent is purple, the color of royalty to welcome the advent of the king. Purple is still used in most churches, but royal blue is becoming more and more popular. The traditional purple of Advent is also the color of suffering used during Lent and Holy Week. Jesus' birth and death is an important connection. The nativity cannot be separated from the crucifixion. The purpose of Jesus coming into the world of the Word made flesh and dwelling among us is to reveal God and His grace to the world through Jesus' life and teaching, but also through His suffering, death, and resurrection. Therefore, even though Advent is filled with expectation, the prayer of Advent is still, "Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel." So what does all this have to do with us anyway? Why is Advent such a big deal? Why do we decorate the church for Advent? As I was studying for this sermon, I learned how weak and imperfect the biblical heroes were. Abraham, the coward who couldn't believe in the promise. Jacob, the cheat who struggled with everyone. Joseph, the immature and big-headed teen. Moses, the impatient murderer who couldn't wait for God. Gideon, the cowardly but all-worshipper. Samson, the drunk who liked women. David, the power-abusing betrayer. And Solomon, the unwise wise man. And finally, Hezekiah, the reforming king who cannot go far enough. Did you ever wonder why God never chose better people to do his work? Let's look at Moses again. He was a murderer, and God still chose him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and become one of the great Hebrew leaders in history. We could even look at the people of Israel. Here God freed them from slavery. They walked through the Reed Sea on dry land. God led them with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of clouds by day. And when they made it to God's mountain with Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, they were building an idol of a golden calf. And God never gave up on them, never backed down, and never lost faith in the people of Israel. All they did all the way to the Promised Land was whine and complain, and yet God fed them with and gave them water to drink. Again, God never gave up on them, never backed down, and never lost faith in the people of Israel.